Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, corn traded to new contract lows this week, and it put in what the technicians will term a very bearish outside formation on the weekly charts. We'll see if it all means a trip to $1.85 or somewhere below that, or not, today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Gentlemen, let's open today's discussion with this question. I'm a farmer. I've collected my corn LDP and done absolutely nothing else. Frankly, I'm not very nervous about the market because the cash market seems to be holding up okay. And I really don't want to spend any money. I need you to convince me there's a reason to protect my unpriced position. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Todd, you know, you are in the same. You basically read the minds of probably the majority of the farm people that are listening to the station here today. So your question's very appropriate for the situation. A couple of things on a fundamental point of view is that we basically feel that the Argentina is basically sold out of their corn inventory, and the only real competitor in the world is China. Our basic opinion is that we are going to see 1.5 to 2 million acres of corn reduction in planted acres next year. Our general opinion is that we are at some very low prices. We are starting to see exports improve, but, you know, that we have gone through a lot of bad publicity this week. And I think being patient, the farmer will sell at $2 a bushel, and that might be in January, that might be in March. But I think that he is a very patient person right this time of year.
Paul, I didn't think I'd get any takers on that, and I think I'll just let that one slide. And if somebody wants to jump in, they can do that. I've got another question.
I'd say hang in there with where you're at, and don't be afraid to hang in there a while longer.
Well, Todd, I guess I have to be just a little different and say that a week ago I felt very confident. But after making new contract lows on Friday, I'm just a tad worried. And we do have a big carryout. We saw a false story as compared to the World Health Organization come out this week that said there was 310 bird flu deaths. What if something like that does come true and China exports corn rather than feeds birds? That's the thing that scares me just a little bit. I don't want to price all my corn, but I guess if I had none priced, 10 or 20%, figuring in the carry, not setting the basis for out in the June-July time frame wouldn't be bad to catch some carry.
You know, I was thinking about the bird flu just a bit and what it really might mean to the market over the long term, and I'd kind of like to go through an exercise with you. So say that bird flu does come up with 300 deaths rather than the 5 that have been reported this week and that the 15 that have been reported, I think, in the last couple of months out of China, and that they really do call their flocks way back. What does that really mean to the marketplace for the United States? Does it mean, for instance, that poultry producers get a win here in the United States because they'll ship more chicken to China potentially? And does it also potentially mean that since most of those chickens are raised by about, I think, 70 million producers, farmers in China, it's only about 6% of their population, but there are 70 million of them, that they'll move to the next easiest thing for them to raise? They raise more hogs there than any place else in the world, and hogs aren't nearly as good at converting feed to meat, and so they may have to have corn. And if they have to have corn, is it possible that they'll stop exporting? I thought just some things to throw out on some possibilities.
I think on their diet, we understand that unfortunately they'll go a lot go to the fish item. Hopefully they'll go to a soy protein type diet, but that's not there yet. But I think the big thing is that, Todd, is that Citicorp and some of the major economic New York City money-centered economists basically worrying that this could result in a 5-6% slowdown in their economies over there in the Pacific Rim. My general impression is they are working hard to contain this. The president was at an economic council with the Pacific Rim trading partners. Everybody's alert to the thing, and we're not in the 1930s anymore. I mean, we have modern technology. They're playing this game pretty hard, and they're watching it very closely.
Everybody bearish the corn market at this point?
No.
All right, give me your objectives then. Where are we headed?
Well, you know, I think that we are going through a phase here, but, you know, we're starting to see the basis improve. We're hearing about the ethanol demand from ethanol plants coming up, some very strong basis levels. We are seasonally hitting some important cycles in here where we should hit some bottoms. The board has been rather mean to a bull this week, but flat price, I don't think we have that much mutter on the downside.
Yeah, the basis improved 185, 6 cents away. What's another six? I mean, when we have these lower prices, look at the exports this week, export sales. If those are generated, it'll almost look like, hey, we do have demand, and those demand bears might get a little scared, and we could see corn revive because of it. Low prices cure low prices.
Upside objectives?
I don't think the upside is that great right now, but I think as we go into next year's growing season, that objective could get better.
Todd, I don't disagree with you, the guys here on each side of me. What I was saying was that we might not fall lower in cash price, but the carry could evaporate a little bit as we get closer to things. We could still be above $2 or whatever when we get the cash for July out there. But right now, we're more in the 225. 25 cents above that. And that, I think the basis can narrow. We might not lose all of that either, but there can be some base or some of the carry go away.
I agree with that as far as the carry. I mean, if you're going to sell some, you need to sell it out there to capture that carry, like we were talked about earlier. But the flat price for cash hasn't really gotten that much worse because the basis has improved.
Paul, I'd like you to do an exercise for me, and you don't have to stand up to do this exercise. I could see somebody doing that in here in the studio. All right, so if you think that you're not bearish of this market, and I'm not sure where you're headed on the upside, but just lay out the things for me that make you not bearish. Okay. What are the items that say this market has room to the upside but not to the downside?
I think the Argentine country's basically sold out of corn. It's extremely dry in the western U.S., Iowa. Sue can help us out on that one here in a few minutes. Our general opinion is that we are going to see this 1.5 million, 2 million acres of less corn. It's mainly a fertilizer, and basically the farmer in Iowa has been very active at booking fertilizer. But I think it's a case that beans aren't that big an economic disadvantage to plant. In other words, the relative economics are pretty close. Our general opinion is that the demand will improve here in time. Hopefully, China will start to grow out of exporting the corn market. You know, when they subsidize corn at this tremendous level, and everybody in the world is criticizing any subsidizing of any market, you would think that that would be a wake-up call. And, of course, corn is an energy product.
And why the change in the corn acreage?
Well, it's a couple things. It's an economic situation with fertilizer. The beans yielded pretty good, and it's the mere cost of just putting out the crop. Also, the one I forgot to mention here, it's very important, we saw a big acreage increase in wheat. There's no doubt in my mind that that means less corn and more soybeans.
Everybody feel comfortable that one, maybe 2 million acres of corn will disappear this year?
I think that's not a reasonable goal or a thing to say. And also, we had a guy on here not long ago that talked about irrigation costs being really high, and that irrigated acres might drop also in the irrigated corn areas.
So corn traded to this new contract low this week at $1.90 3/4. And we talked about a downside objective of 184, 185. Is there something lower than that? I'm not sure that any of you are convinced that it's really headed any further than that, but we need to ask that question, I think, nonetheless.
Well, I mean, if you look at measuring gaps, if you look at a lot of different things, Todd, there's very technical traders will tell you that it can go lower than that. I don't know exactly. I think there's a 174 if you take out the 181 mark. You have to go down there. You know, it's if this happens, if this happens, if that happens. We are not that wildly bearish, but I think that the technical traders have the bird flu news that turned out to not be right didn't, after we found out it wasn't right, didn't bounce this market back. The technical damage was done, and the funds liquidated and pushed it through. Remember, the funds over-exaggerate all the moves. So what should stop things may not, and it might give us a bigger bounce up later.
Which had more technical damage done to it this week, in your opinion, the corn market or the bean market?
Well, I'm going to say the bean market basically had more damage done to it. You know, I think last month's low was 566 on the January contract. I think instead of the bird flu, I think when Bunge dumped two cargoes of beans out of Argentina to China, basically sent a message that somebody was dumping beans in another part of the world at some pretty cheap values to get the business. Some people said the Argentine crop was there's more beans in Argentina than basically and previously called for. And I think that was basically the downside. The other thing is the market's acting a lot different since the Revco debacle, in my opinion. It seems like it's more, you know, very sluggish. Not a lot of pizzazz. You know, we had record highs, recent highs, yearly highs in gold this week. So, there's things going on in the commodity world. It's not all just down and out.
In the bean market, where is it that you might expect the beans to move over the next 6 months?
6 months would be clear up into May. I think we should see a bounce between now and Christmas just due to the seasonal and the time of year. But I think when we get to next May, you could see a move back down due to South America if they have a good crop. But I think you're looking at a 50-cent range right now from back down to the lows to back over six. I just think we're in a back and forth depending on what the local news, world news is to push those funds to go more one way or the other.
Any serious changes you think coming in acreage for beans in the United States?
I think we'll be a little bit higher, but I'm not one to say, especially in the Midwest, farmers literally are not going to en masse move corn acres to bean acres. I think it's in the fringe areas, in the wheat areas, in the irrigation areas.
We think somewhere in that 3 million acre increase, Todd, and unfortunately that's not a real friendly item. The big factor here is that it's mainly a shift maybe a million acres of corn, but it's actually wheat country and things like that.
Is it wheat and cotton? Potentially they're not so scared of Asian soybean rust in the Delta region, is that right? Those kinds of things.
I agree. I think that you'll see the bean acreage Inform is talking about 3 million acres. They're pretty conservative.
If 1.5 to 2 million acres less corn is bullish, 3 million more acres of beans is not bullish, Todd. So I think that we have something to worry about and maybe watch that new crop bean price if the weather or some problem doesn't develop that way. But remember, we are talking about La Nina this year also.
Any other items in the corn and the soybeans that we haven't discussed that we need to pick up for sure?
We had rust talked about all last year before the growing season. We didn't have any problems this year. If that sucker would raise its head, we could see some big moves up on beans next growing season.
Very quickly, take a look at the livestock market. Cattle on feed numbers were out on Friday afternoon. They finished like this on feed November the 1st at 101, placed in October at 103, and marketed in October at 97. The call is about 20 to 50 lower in the marketplace. It seems to me that it appears that placements at 103 was pretty good, and that they left those that were marketed out on feed just to keep that cheap feed going into them. So this could put a lot of fat cattle into the market in not too short a time, I would think.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit negative just because the placements were a little more than expected, and the marketings were actually a little higher than expected, even though we've got really heavy weights.
Anything else on the livestock market we need to take up before we move on? In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather in Illinois made a transition from early fall to early winter in just a matter of hours this week. Temperatures the first part of the week were well above normal in most areas of the state, with highs reaching the 70s just ahead of a cold front on Tuesday afternoon. At the stroke of midnight Tuesday night, temperatures had already plunged into the 30s except in the far south. Temperatures remained steady or fell on Wednesday from that point. On Thursday, most locations in the northern half of Illinois started out in the teens and did not reach freezing despite sunny skies. So we went from temperatures 10 to 15 degrees above normal on Tuesday to 15 to 20 degrees below normal on Thursday. The storm system that ultimately brought the cold air also managed to produce widespread rainfall and some severe weather in Illinois. The heaviest rain fell in southern Illinois from thunderstorms both on Monday and Tuesday. Amounts there exceeded 5 inches in a number of locations, with Carbondale accumulating 7.29 inches over the 2 days. Amounts in northern and central Illinois range between a third and 1.25 inches. The cold weather pattern over the Midwest will likely continue through Thanksgiving week. A couple of fast-moving clipper systems will zip through Illinois next week, bringing reinforcing shots of cold air. Any precipitation accompanying these systems, be it rain or snow, should be light. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists this week are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Recapping the numbers as they settled the week this week, December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade had a high of 316, a low at 301 and a quarter. The D settled down 9.5 cents at $3.02. July futures at 335 were off 10.25 from last week. December corn futures traded to a high of $1.99.5, a low at $1.90 and 3 quarters. That's a new contract low in the corn pit, put in an outside down week on the charts. December corn settled at 191.25. They were off 4.25 from last week. July futures 221.25. Down 2.75. Soy complex now, January bean 602.75 on the high, the low at $5.69, settlement price at $5.69.75. They were off 23.25 cents for the week. And the July futures at $5.88.25 were down 29.25 cents. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle 91.85 on the high, the low at 90.40. Their settlement price 60 higher at 91.02.5. And the January's in the feeder cattle bid at 113.60 as the new lead option were down $1.45. December lean hogs at $64 even on the high, the low at $61.90, a settlement price there at $62.62.5. They were off 80 cents. We're joined now by Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services from Webster City, Iowa. Sue can be heard on WILL daily at 12:55. Hi, Sue. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Tell me, you talk about moon cycles quite a bit during that 12:55. What are those, and just exactly how do the things work? I bring that up only because we've been in the middle of a full moon.
Well, you know, I don't know as if I live by them, but they do seem to have some impact, and it's the full moon and the new moon. And also the spring and fall equinox has a tendency to react with it as well. And sometimes it can change the pattern. But what I take them as is I take them more matter-of-factly, that I just think they increase volatility in the marketplace. You know, if you notice, people drive more goofy when it's a full moon, and, you know, the tides change and that type of thing. And so there is that gravitational pull. But again, you know, there is just something I notice that it seems like at times when we're coming in towards a full moon that we do have a tendency to put some tops in or some bottoms, and the markets get real reactive.
Sue, I want to tell you that at 12:55 in our very noisy, busy commodity office with three brokers in there and a lot of people watching the markets, we turn the radio on to WILL, and we do listen to every word you say.
Well, thank
and
you.
We want to congratulate you and thank you for taking that time and sharing it with the Midwest, because it is, you know, you do have some interesting points. The big thing here is Todd cornered us and basically characterized the farmer basically waiting patiently for something to happen. Will it happen, and how soon, and what direction will it come from?
Okay, and I assume you're talking more about corn?
Yes.
Well, I will say this. You know, the tendency in the past, as we all know, has been that farmers take the LDPs and then they sit on the corn, but they don't take protection. And in bare years, the market has a tendency that the deferred contracts have a tendency in the carry to come down when 1 month expires off, the next month comes down and aligns. And I'm wondering if we're looking at something similar to that. I think that until we get the soybean market settled down, I don't see the rest of these markets getting much enthusiasm to turn around and get up and get going. And the trade on the floor seems to be really negative supply. But it's like, at the moment, what one are they looking at? Well, if you look at corn, we're pretty much in line with where we were a year ago at this time. And beans are probably running, I'm guessing here, but I'm going to say maybe 50, 60 cents premium over where they were a year ago at this time. So it's the beans that they're going to beat on, and they'll kind of keep working away, chipping away at corn. We did not take out last year's highs in corn, so here we are very close to the lows. I think the low last year on the Dease contract was $1.90 and a half, and I think before that in recent years, $1.89 has come into play, $1.87, $1.89. And I think that's what the corn market's after. We have penetrated here recently a monthly trend line that has held the Dease corn contract ever since 1971, September, October of 1971, on a monthly basis. We have held every December corn contracts low, and that trend line came across here just recently at about $1.93 and a half to $1.94. $1.93 and a half was our third count to the downside. So one would be saying market's kind of overdone and ought to be trying to change. What we're finding is that it's the basis lifting and the futures market's going like almost nowhere. As far as farmers holding on to grain, I would say at this time, yes, you've got your corn locked up, hang on to it. But there are some situations going on before the river freezes in certain areas where you're getting some pretty good corn bids right now because the farmer has locked up his corn, and they're saying, okay, we want you to sell some corn. We need some corn. Just today, I had a producer in Minnesota tell me that he was being bid $1.80 for corn. That's a fabulous bid. And his comment to me was, you know, my yard's a mess. I don't want to get the semis out. And I thought, oh, my God, you took 48-cent LDP. You know, you put that on top of $1.80. Hey, you can live. You know, I think I'd go get that truck dirty. But I guess I would say at this stage, I think you do have a chance to take these markets higher. The concern's going to be after the turn of the year, farmers are going to have to be paying some bills. And the banks are going to start calling some loans. And they're going to be saying, we need you to sell something. And what are they going to sell? I suspect they hang on to the corn and they go sell the beans. And because they're so enamored, you know, we've had a good year in yield. I mean, my goodness, this was a fabulous year. But they're hearing so much negative rhetoric on beans. And the farmers are in belief. And they're going to sell beans first and hang on to that corn. As we go in towards spring and we get in towards planting time, everybody's attitude, first off, with the farmer is that they think that the market's going to try to buy acres, and therefore corn prices try to hold. And that could happen. It could be the beans stay soft and the corn comes up. But I'm kind of thinking that basis-wise, your basis might be pretty good as you go into planting season because all the field work got done this fall, and the farmers will be raring to go, unless we have a wet spring, they'll be raring to go to get into that field and get stuff done and planted, and it should go in pretty easy. Because they'll be so busy, that could be a good time to actually be moving grain and locking in your basis. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting year. We do have the potential of a La Nina. Over two-thirds of the country is extremely low in subsoil moisture. Over two-thirds of Iowa, in fact, I'd almost say three-fourths of Iowa, is extremely low in subsoil moisture. And your big droughts move east to west. So I'm a little concerned this next year because I do think that we hold a very big chance of a drought this next year, and that could be the kicker for this corn market. One, because we will be shipping corn out and exporting it, and two, I think that, and you know, and I think what's going on in China, now maybe I'm one that always looks at the glass half full and sometimes to a fault, but when China said, I think it was Wednesday, that they stated that they were going to inoculate 14 billion birds. To me, what they actually said is, yes, they had been dealing with this for some time, and they finally had their arms around it, or they wouldn't be saying that. And the other thing was that they also stated that they had a vaccination or a vaccine available for humans. And I thought that also was real a positive, because basically they were saying they weren't going to call their birds, that they had their hands around this thing, or so they think, and that they were going to be still taking grain, corn, or proteins for their chicken herds or flocks, I should say. And I thought that was a positive thing and not a bearish thing. But in the meantime, we also, you know, the Chinese, you need to watch what they do and not what they say. And we've noticed that they've been big buyers of soy meal in the last month. And it's been while everybody else hears all the negative rhetoric and sells the market down, we're helping them out.
We've got about a minute left. If you could hold your comments very short, are you still thinking $8 beans?
Well, you know, it's interesting you ask that, because I'm going to be speaking out in Illinois here at, now I can't think of the name of the town, but I'm going to be speaking for an ethanol plant out in Illinois here.
In Palestine.
Right after Thanksgiving. And so this weekend I'm going to be doing lots of research on beans. I will tell you this, I do think we hold a very good chance of going over $8 beans this next year, but what I'm wondering is, does it take a weather market that cranks us up? I do expect a longer export season than what we've had, and Hurricane Katrina hurt us horribly.
We appreciate you being with us. By the way, you'll be at the Palestine ethanol plant is where you're speaking at.
That's where I'm at. Thank you. I must have to go get that sheet out and take a look.
You're welcome. And one other note on the reasons that Paul Cooley said that he was turning down the market or turning down everything in his office to listen to you on the WILL. Dave Dickey and I know that when we're not on the air, the highest numbers we have actually here, and not by much, are when you're on the air, but we're not there with you. So congratulations. It's
Thank you.
To our dismay, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, I don't know if I should say this, but I also do a radio commentary every morning for another station, too, out of Kansas, and it's on the Internet. And, and I go like 15 minutes on that. So I really give a lot of information on that. So if anybody's interested, they can call us and we'll tell them how to find it.
Tell me where it is. We don't care. That's fine.
Okay. I was hated to do that to you. It's a KFRM radio station.
Oh, sure. I know.
Yeah. And so they can go on the Internet, just click KFRM.com. And you'll come up with the website, and there's a button right there, and it walks you right through it easy.
Thanks much, Sue.
Thank you.
Bye. Sue Martin is with Ag and Investment Services in Webster City, Iowa, joining us here on Commodity Week. Let's wrap this up with Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services.
Very proud to be here with three other distinguished men, Pete and Wayne and Utah, to have a nice Thanksgiving.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, it's been a rough week in the commodity market, Todd, for the farmers, but it sounds like we've got a little hope left here. Maybe $8 beans, Sue says. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Hey, if you're in any of those places where they have a wild basis, they're offering good prices, take some of it.
Gentlemen, thanks much. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.